Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
About 6 months ago, I took my three boys and my wife indoor rock climbing. I don't know if you've ever been to that. I don't understand the whole concept of it, because why would you want to climb up a perfectly man-made wall to get to the top and then ring a bell and then come back down? But it's the white thing, apparently. That's what you guys like to do for entertainment. So my boy said, "Oh, Dad, let's go indoor rock climbing." And so I remember we ran in, and you know, my youngest one, as you can see, the cute little one, he's a little bit smaller than the rest. We don't want to call him the runt of the family, because we don't want to prophesy anything wrong on him, but he is really little for his age, but he's extremely athletic, and he wants to do what all his big brothers want to do. And so the big brothers went straight to the hardest, most complex walls, and they made it, and little Micah decides he is going to go for one of the most complex walls to just really show his brothers up. And he gets up there, and this wall that he had to climb just went up, straight up, and then it went out. And then it went up again, and then it went up straight. And this little guy got up to the hard bit, and he's trying and he's trying, but every time he'd get to the very top, he'd fall down, and he just couldn't get around the little Spider-Man bit. You know, the bit where you have to sort of climb on your back almost. And he's trying and he's trying and he's trying, and I can see it first. He's determined with willpower and strength, "I will conquer this mountain." But over time, after about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes of trying and failing, you could see the little light in his eyes just slowly go down. And after a little while, exhausted, he goes, "Dad, you can let me down now. I just can't do it. It's just impossible." Now, I'm at the bottom. I'm the belayer. Have you heard of the belayer? The guy that has the rope around him, and he, you know, gets to see everything. And from my position, from where I was standing, I got to see things completely differently to where he was, because he was right in the moment. He couldn't see the whole picture. His view and his perspective was blocked by the wall that was right in front of him. But for me, standing on the bottom, I could see the whole thing. And I could see that if he just stretched his hand to the right a little bit and then pulled himself up and put his right foot just to that thing on the red, the little ledge on the left there, and he could just push himself up. And I started to speak to him and said, "Hey, Micah, listen, don't quit yet. I can see a way out." And he's like, "No, Dad, it's impossible. I've tried. Let me down. It's impossible." I said, "Micah, I can help you up. You've got to listen to me, son. You've got to try." "No, Dad, it's impossible. I can't do it. It's too hard." "Micah, stop saying you can't do it. We're going to go to Macca's if you do it." Right? Now you need to stop talking and you need to start listening to Dad. And I'm going to tell you what to do. I want you to stretch your right arm. So he does it. He pulls himself. Then your right foot. Then your left foot. Within seconds, this kid starts to climb the wall. He goes on his back, goes around the top, rings the bell, and he comes down. And everybody is cheering, because I was obviously a lot louder than I thought. And he was quite, quite small. And so all these other professionals are clapping, and he's coming down with his smile as wide as his whole face. And there was a moment of such victory and such joy as this champion overcame, as this champion conquered what was impossible. I was so proud of him. I was so proud of him. I was shouting and cheering. And then I heard the still small voice of the Holy Spirit say, "Joel, that's exactly what I want to do for you." I know how to overcome. I want to teach you how to overcome the impossible walls, the impossible situations in your life that you think you can't, and you keep whinging and you keep whining and you say, it's too hard, let me out, time out, I give up. God said to me, I want to do exactly the same to you, son. I want to coach you into victory and I want to coach you into joy. And the Lord gave me this scripture that we have, I'm sure, have read many times. It says, John 16:33 says, I've told you these things. This is Jesus speaking, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. You serve an overcoming God. You serve a victorious God. Jesus said, I have seen everything. I've had everything thrown at me. But I'm telling you this so that you may have peace. You have a winner and an overcomer on your side. And he wants to direct you and he wants to lead you into victory so that when you have overcome the obstacle, that joy and that victory is not just yours, but did you know the joy and the victory is also on the heart of the Father? I was more excited for my son than he was. And God says, come on. Regardless of what wall and what obstacle and what impossible situation you are facing right now, I am the one that will overcome. I want to lead you into victory. You know, about 3 years ago, I was having a state executive meeting and with all the state executive there, and I was planning the year. It was the start of the year. And I got this phone call that I ignored. Then the phone call rang again. And the phone call rang a third time. I thought, this is weird. I don't know this number, but this person keeps calling me. So I answered the phone and I got this secretary that said, excuse me, Mr. Joel Chalaya, the doctor would like to speak to you. And I had been losing my hearing on my right side for quite a bit. And my wife kept on telling me, you never listen to me. You never hear what I'm saying. You need to go to the doctor. And I was going, yeah, babe, come on. It's just a man thing. You know, it's funny how it's only on the side my wife sleeps that I've lost my hearing. And so I went to the doctors and they said, actually, you've actually lost about 70% of your hearing on your right-hand side. So I did a little test and stuff like that. And so the doctor's calling up with the results. Hey, Mr. Chalaya, I've got your results back from the MRI. Just want you to know there is a tumor that's on your brainstem. We're going to have to operate, but we'll get the receptionist to talk to you soon. Have a great day, and hung up. First thing I did was got a new doctor. But you can imagine that moment. I'm doing what I normally do. It's an everyday life and doing, you know, all those things that you have to do during the day. And all of a sudden, this news just, it's just like a wall has been placed straight in front of me. I start thinking about, you know, not seeing my children grow up, my wife being a widow. What's going to happen to the church? What's going to happen to my children's faith when their father, who is a pastor, who lives for God, may I say to you, what have you done to me, by the way? I've been serving you all this time. I'm not supposed to get cancer. I'm supposed to pray for people who have cancer and they're supposed to get healed. All these thoughts, this massive wall is immediately in front of me. What do you do in those instances? For some of you, that wall is a physical diagnosis. Diagnosis. Yeah, it's, it just came out weird. English is my second language. You know, for others of you, it's a relational issue. The wall in your life is your marriage is not going great, or your children are not following the Lord. For others of you, the wall in your life right now is a financial wall of provision and lack and debt, and you don't know what to do, and you've tried with your willpower, and you've tried with your wisdom, and you've tried with your strength, and you're here today. And God sends this little bald Indian guy from Perth to tell you that if you were just silence yourself a little bit, he's going to speak to you today and give you the steps to overcoming and conquering your mountain. You know, in Joshua chapter 6, the Israelites are facing their own physical mountain. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 to 6 says this, "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I've delivered Jericho into your hands along with its kings and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carrying trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight into it." In this passage here, I believe are 3 steps that the Lord showed me on how to overcome our mountains. And I want to share some practical stuff with you. Is that okay? I want to share some stuff with you that you can take home today and you can start dealing with that mountain. You can start pulling down that giant. The first thing here in this passage is that we have to put your trust in what God sees. You got to imagine Joshua's having an encounter with God. He's far away, but all he can see is a walled city before him. And when he's in worship or when the presence of God comes, God says to him, "Son, I want you to see that I've given you the city." Immediately, his reaction is, "What are you talking about? All I can see is a walled city. All I can see is a king laughing at me. All I can see is the enemy victorious. All I can see is the wall. I can't see beyond that." And God says, "No, if you want to bring down the wall, you've got to see what I see. You've got to see what I see." And he's like, "I can't see." And God says, "Come on, Joshua, close your eyes and see. Don't see with these eyes. See with these eyes. See with the eyes of faith. Close your eyes and I want you to see, son. I want you to see that I have given you that city. I have given you its king. I have given you its fighting men. Everything that is right now against you will bow the knee to you because I am with you." He says, "Come on, you need to start seeing what God sees." And I'm not a great flyer. I'd have to fly a lot, but I don't like flying. One of the reasons is whenever the plane goes through turbulence, I see stuff. Not with my visual eyes, but I see myself. I see myself. We all have this ability to see. God created us with this imagination, with an ability to see. The issue is, what are you allowing to see in your spirit? Some of us see with eyes of fear, but God says in this particular scripture, "I want you to see with the eyes of faith." You can see your children not following the Lord. You can see your children becoming rebellious. You can see your marriage breaking down. You can see yourself losing your great job and being unemployed. Or you can see the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. You can see, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You can see that when He touches me, my body will be healed. My mind will be delivered. You can see. What are you seeing? What are you choosing to see? What are you choosing to see over your marriage? "Oh, well, you know, we've stuck together for this long. We'll stick together to the end." Or you can see your marriage being more intimate. You can see your marriage becoming one that others can look up to. You can see your marriage being more and more in love with each other. What are you seeing? You want to break down the wall? Start to see what God promises. Start to see what God has said about that situation. Start to see what God is about to do. Unless you see it, you can't possess it. Now, some of you are going, "Oh, this is visualization, New Age stuff." No, it's meditating on Scripture. And the Bible tells us that we are to meditate on His Word day and night. You see, when I was growing up, I was told, bald people sweat a lot. I saw my brother leading worship. I was going, "He's not going to use my white towel, is he?" But with a voice like that, I don't mind some of your sweat. I don't know where I was going with that. But let's make sure we start to see what God has called us to see. You know, when you memorize scriptures like the Lord is your shepherd, I shall not want, it's not actually supposed to be just out of memory that you recall these things. But when you say the Lord is my shepherd, you're supposed to see what it looks like to be a sheep under a good shepherd. When he tells you he's going to make you lie down in green pastures, you're supposed to see that as well as memorize it. And as you start to see what he promises to do in your life, what you see, you will be able to possess. That's the first key. Here's the second key. We see it in Joshua chapter 6, verse 10. To place a guard over your mouth. But Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. No, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, then shout. The first thing is we need to see what God sees. The second thing we need to do is shut our mouths. And you've got to go, can you imagine Joshua's gathering everybody? Hey guys, I know I've never led any of you in war before, and I know it looks really bad, but I've seen God give us this city, and here's the plan. We're going to march around the city for 7 days, once a day, and on the seventh day, we're going to do it 7 times, and then we're going to have a praise party, and the walls are going to come down. And you can just see as all the commanders and generals going, right. Right. And he goes, oh, you want to overcome this wall? From now on, there's a ban on your opinions, on your thoughts, and on your Google searches. I want complete silence. Because you can just imagine, as the whole army's walking around, one guy's like, man, my backpack's so heavy. The other guy's like, so what are we doing exactly? Oh, we're just walking. So we walk around a wall. Well, I searched walking around the wall, and no wall has ever collapsed by walking around it. Not even 7 times. Yeah, you got to understand, Joshua's a young leader. If Moses was here, oh, those days with Moses. Moses was a great leader. Moses was fantastic. And you know, we're not even building a single battering ram. And Joshua goes, oi! Shut up. Not a word. Shh. But I don't like shh. I don't like the way shh. This is not going to shush, shush. I don't want you to say anything that's going to steal the promise of God from your life. No. You want to overcome this wall, it's going to need to be done with silence, or you speak what God is speaking. Elizabeth Elliot once said, don't dig up in doubt what you planted in faith. Don't dig up in doubt what you planted in faith. Tonight, some of you are going to go home and you're going to take down this wall. You've got fresh hope. You've got fresh faith. And then you go home and your husband's there. Or you face your teenage son who's not going on for God. Or you have to go on Monday and be with that employer that's driving you crazy. And instantly the thoughts come into your mind, this is never going to happen. It's never going to be a breakthrough. It's impossible. In those moments, here's a kind word from the Lord. Shut up. Shh. Don't say another word. Don't say another word. We need to understand that our words are creative. We need to understand that when God created the mouth, it wasn't purely for communication. It was also for creation and commanding. And so God wants you to speak the truth. He wants you to command the truth. He wants you to prophesy His word. He wants you to relay His promises. But every time the enemy wants to bring up the doubt, the fear, the worry, the Google search, stop. And I said to my friends, I was driving back from the state executive. Now, these are all pastors, state executive. These are all fathers in the faith. And they said, hey, Joel, what happened there? What was that phone call about? I said, guys, I've just got a really scary diagnosis. I've got a brain tumor. They have to operate. And the guy who was my state secretary said, oh, I had a friend who had a brain tumor and he died. Honest to God. I'm like, oh. And another godly state executive member smacked him across the head and said, David, don't say that. You know what, Joel? You are a man of God. God is going to heal you. God is going to do great things for you. And can I tell you, because you are a pastor, a shepherd, God's going to touch you and going to use you in many ways to touch others. And I'm not joking. The same guy said, oh, my friend was a pastor too. And we were all in shock. I started to laugh, which was not appropriate because they're all so scared. And then this other state executive member said, but don't worry, Joel, because in Australia, in Perth, we've got some of the best doctors and the best medicines. And this guy said to me, no, he was in Perth as well. 3 times. And we just couldn't believe this. Listen, with friends like that, you don't need the devil. You've got the devil in the car with you. Of course, I'm mucking around. He did say those things. But the truth is, sometimes you just need to shut up. You just need to put a guard over your mouth, and you can't let the fear speak, and you can't let the doubt speak, because you are a man of God. You are a woman of God, and your words are creative. And whatever you say, whatever you prophesy begins to create. I'm running out of time. So I better go. Here's the third thought as the musicians come up to help me. Release a shout of praise. Release a shout of praise. Joshua 6:16 says, the seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. You can imagine some of them going, I don't want to shout. He told me to shut up. Now he wants me to shout. Which one is it? Shut up, shout. Shut up, shout. Another one will go, well, you know what? It's not my personality to shout. I'm shouting on the inside. Others go, well, hold on. I'm not a Pentecostal. We don't shout praise. But I love what Joshua does. He commands them, shout, shout. This is how you fight your battles, in praise and worship. This is how you win the fight, by honoring and exalting God, by declaring His goodness, by declaring His promises, by being lost in His arms and His eyes, and not being lost by the wall. Look up from the wall and look toward the God that saves. Here's what I realized. They didn't praise after the wall fell down. They were commanded to praise before the wall fell down. Because it's easy to praise God when everything is going good. It takes no faith to praise Him then. But I tell you what, when you praise, and your praise is a sacrifice of praise, when you praise Him even though all hell is breaking, when you praise Him even though the wall is ever before you and it seems impossible, but you just start to silence your heart and silence the other voices, and you lift up your eyes and you focus on Him and you begin to praise, that praise starts to break every wall down. Very simple. See what God sees. Number 2, put a guard on it. Number 3, learn to praise in and out of season. Acts 16:25, Paul and Silas are in prison. They are ordered to be stripped and beaten with rods, placed in stocks and chains. That's not a good atmosphere for praise. But actually, it's the best atmosphere for praise. The Bible says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Then suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison, the very walls, began to shake at once. All the prison doors, all, not just their prison doors, they worshipped sacrificially, and not only their walls came down, but all the walls of every prisoner in their life. I want to talk to all the parents. You can praise, and the walls that come down are not just your walls, but the walls of your children and your children's children. Wives, you can praise God through the hardest times, and the walls will come down not just in your life, but on your husband's life. For every child whose parents do not know Jesus, I know what it's like. My dad was so anti-church, so anti-God. On a Sunday morning, he would become violent, and we'd try to physically stop us from going to church. But tell you what, I knew how to praise, and as I began to praise, I began to praise his walls down. I began to praise his chains down. And I'm here to tell you, my dad is in my church. He's serving the Lord. He's one man of God, because you got to praise those walls down. You can overcome. You serve an overcoming God. But you need to make some big decisions today. What are you going to see about your situation? What are you going to speak about your situation? And when's the last time you start to praise God regardless of the situation?
We hope that this message has blessed you. For more information about Influencers Church, go to influencers.church.